Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And so you say you're trying to get your Great Dane to herd sheep? Well, that might not be possible because your Great Dane's brain may not be wired to do that. And it could be because humans, maybe 1,000 years ago, didn't wire the brain to do that. Let's explain. There's a new study from scientists at Harvard University that looked at how dogs' brains were wired. Sharon Begley took a look for our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Sharon, what were scientists looking at?
They were looking to see whether the behaviors that different breeds are known for had their origins in the brain. And, you know, the simple answer to that is yes, they have to, because the brain is the organ of behavior. But the question is whether the very, very different behaviors that different breeds are known for, you know, in your example, or, you know, being really companionable or being a great retriever, you know, on all the other things that breeds are known for, whether the scientists could find a specific region of the brain and differences between breeds that might explain that. And, you know, when you say that, it seems like an obvious thing to look for because, of course, you know, if breeds are different in terms of their behavior, but nobody had thought to look for that.
I know. And the scientists expressed surprise to you, like, oh, we didn't know we might be the first. We don't, you know, somebody should have done this before. So they saw what? They saw that there were specific regions of the brain that so that a border collie had a place in the brain that made them better at herding sheep.
So what they basically found were six what they called networks, which are really just regions of the brain that are really, really strongly connected, that work together, etc. So, for instance, a network that includes regions that are really good at taste and smell and figure out the meanings of different tastes and different smells, you know, something that you might, that you, the dog, might perceive in the air. Those are really, really prominent in breeds that are known for outstanding hunting skills. One example is the German short-haired pointer. Another network is involved in interacting with people, and that one was really, really prominent in, for instance, the Bichon Frise, which is known for affection to its humans, etc. So the basic idea was to identify networks that have known functions and see, compare how robust they are across different breeds.
But then you also write that humans were a part of creating these brain spaces because they selected some breeds to do things and some not to, and thereby maybe what, helped wire the brains?
Well, that's what the scientists say, that humans have been shaping the brains of this other species for thousands of years. So dogs, or what became domestic dogs, evolved away from wolves about 20,000 years ago, and then for the last few thousand years, humans have indeed been applying selection pressure, as it's called, to dogs. So if you had, for instance, a dog in the Scottish Highlands that was really good at herding your sheep, then you would choose that dog to have puppies with another dog that was really, really good at that. And when you start that kind of selective breeding, then the trait that you're selecting for, whether it's, you know, physical, you know, long legs or a cute face, that becomes more and more prominent. And when you do that over and over and over again, then the differences between the dogs that you select to breed and the ones that you don't become really noticeable and really strong. So that's what the scientists mean when they say that humans shaped the brains of another species.
It's just fascinating. That's Sharon Begley from our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. Sharon, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.